We're in, been just looking at several of the commandments. I have all these commandments in a series of messages. Obviously, you can't preach them, 10 of them in 4 services, but I've just sort of followed the leadership of the Lord in the ones that I've felt good that would be an encouragement to our family and our family relationships. If we apply them, they will make a big difference in our lives. And that's why they were given to Israel. They were given to Israel as principles to live by. And God gave them for a very definite reason, and they're good for us today. But we're looking at verse 7. I want to speak upon this thought. There's something about that name. There's something about that name. Verse 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." You know, all through the Bible, God has revealed himself to us by the use and the meaning of his name. We can never really understand God by our own reasoning. Many men try, but through human reasoning, you'll never be able to understand God. God must reveal himself to us, and he does this through his name. You see, the name of God tells us what kind of God he is. The name of God in this verse, where it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain." The name of God in this verse is Elohim in the Hebrew. And this is one of the great names for God. It means that God is the faithful one, that he is the strong one. Elohim is the name that God uses to reveal himself in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 that begins where the Bible begins, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, Elohim is the name of God there. You see, God is eternal, existing before the universe. He is omnipotent, having created the universe by his spoken word. He spoke and it came into existence. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. Lord, it says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Lord is the name Jehovah. He is the God who was, he is the God who is, and he is the God who evermore shall be. He is Jehovah God, the great I Am. You'll remember when Moses, when God was dealing with Moses about going before Pharaoh to tell him to let Israel go. It's in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, we read, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." He is Jehovah God, the great I Am. Think with me for a moment about the definition of God's name. You know, the name of God is profoundly sacred. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1, "How excellent is thy name in all the earth." How excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then again, the psalmist says in Psalm 111 and verse 9, "Holy and reverend is his name. Oh, the sacredness of his name. The Jews understood that. You know, the Orthodox Jews would not use the name of God. When the scribes were making copies of the Holy Scriptures, when they came to the name of God, they would place their pen down, rise, go bathe themselves, and put on different garments. Then they would come with a pen that had never been used before and write down the holy name of God. They knew the name of God was sacred. You see, that's what the name represents. It is the revelation of the holy, sacred character of God. You see, when you think about God's name, first of all, it reveals God's personality. You know, the God we serve, and this is something that all of us need to know, but especially our young people. The God we serve is not some abstraction, some kind of Star Wars impersonal force. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God we serve. The God we serve is a real person, the self-named one. He said, the Lord thy God. Lord, the Hebrew word Jehovah or Yahweh is the most personal name of God. It speaks of the God who is a covenant keeper. In other words, he never breaks his word. What he says, he will do. What he has said in the past, he has done. He never breaks his word. The name of God signifies God's personal relationship to his people. But it not only reveals God's personality, it also reveals God's power. His name is a revelation of his power. The Hebrew word Elohim, as I said, thy God, speaks of a God who is the Almighty One. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, that he is maintaining all things by the power of his word. I try to visualize this scene. You don't do this, but I do. When I read scripture, I often put myself in the setting that I'm reading. Makes it more alive to me. But I try to imagine a globe of the world. Think about this for a moment. The Bible says he's maintaining. The word maintaining means upholding. Upholding all things by the power of his word. Has it ever occurred to you that if God were to release his hold, what would happen to this world? You ought to thank God every day for an almighty God that is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. You see, the Almighty One, the name God, it's a plural word because it speaks of the multiplicity of his strength and of his power. You put these two names together, the Lord thy God, and you can see that he is the God who always keeps his promises, who has power to perform what he promises. No person, no human individual, no matter how popular he may be in the world, has that kind of power. But God does. God has that kind of power. In his commandment, he is saying here, in the commandment that I read, I am Jehovah, your Elohim, the Lord your God. Don't take my name in vain. Let that sink in for a moment. Don't take my name in vain. You see, his name not only reveals his personality and his power, but it also reveals his protection. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10 says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. It would do us well during this time when fear is gripping the hearts of people around the country just to run to this strong tower and realize the protective power of our Almighty God. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. In other words, our Lord is, I think in this name, God is trying to help us to see that when Satan gets after you, run for the name of Jesus. The devil hates that name. There's power in that name. People often say to me about how the devil's giving them a fit. Well, how do you react to that? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, the devil has no claim to your life now. You belong to another. You've been bought with a price. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have the authority to resist the devil and the power of his name. I believe if we'd get a hold of that truth, the church would be leaping rather than limping. Oh, we'd be more excited about the things of God. In other words, he's saying, take refuge in my name. It's like running into a strong tower for safety. All we Baptists enjoy good singing. In fact, many times when I'm in revival, somebody inquires about it, they'll say, who's singing? I say, I don't know. I've been accused of going to meetings and people come up to me and say, you know, you were here 3 years ago. You preached from that same passage. I said, you know, I don't remember all that, but I would be safe in saying y'all sang the same old songs too. But there's a song that says, take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. There's a message in the verse of that song. But we see also that the name God reveals his personality, his power, his protection, but also it reveals his provision. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. He will give you. Now I'm one of those preachers that believe that. I believe God said what he means, and he means what he says. And he said all he ever intends to say. It's all here, recorded, forever settled in heaven. So why is it that we're so reluctant to take God at his word? Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. John 16:33. If you want to note it, write that down. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You notice he didn't say according to your riches. The word according means there's an abundant supply. You can never exhaust the resources of heaven. Before I learned that great truth, I used to go up on the side of the street paying, down the other side apologizing. I used to take a piece of paper. I'd write down on one side of the paper all that I had going out, had to pay going out. I'd write that in the smallest figures I could. Made it look, didn't look like so much. Then on the other side, I'd write down all I had coming in. I'd write that in big numbers, make it look like a little more. But I learned something from that little exercise. When your outgo exceeds your income, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. That's what's happening to a lot of people today. Their outgo is exceeding their income. And they've never learned to trust God in the simplest things. The simplest things. If you're honest with God, and I don't know how I got into this because I didn't have this in my notes, so the Lord must be in all of it. If you've been honest with God in your giving, then you have every right to claim that verse. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, if you've been robbing God, don't know you need you to use that verse. No, if you've been cheating on Him, robbing Him, keeping what belongs to Him, that won't work for you. But if you've been honoring God in the area of giving, and by the way, you can't outgive the Lord, I challenge you to try it. Amen. He's got a whole lot more than you got. You give Him your little shovel full, He'll give you back a scoop. I like that myself. You see, you can claim that verse then. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. And Jesus said again, Mark chapter 11, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you shall have them and you shall receive them. If you'll read that verse, it's all in the present tense. Whoo, some of you are looking at me strange. Brother Don, you never heard it on that fashion. Well, I learned this truth many years ago. I went to Bible college with no visible means of income, with a wife and four children. God kicked all the prophets out from under me and said, you either trust Me or do without. I learned to trust Him. Somebody asked me one time, said, what did you learn going to Bible college? I said, I learned two things. You were there all that time, just learned two things. I said, I learned how to study His Word, and I learned how to believe Him, how to trust Him. If you're going to live for God and honor God and walk with God, you better learn those two things if you do it well-pleasing unto Him. You see, the key is asking in Jesus' name, not in your name, for the purpose of fulfilling your desires. You're asking in His name. But if we ask according to the will and desire of the Father, we can sign Jesus' name to it, and the Father will grant it. It's like a blank check. God says, fill in the amount. By the way, on the meager, uncertain, not knowing evangelist of an evangelist, or the income of an evangelist, God provided us the house we live in. I was renting a house in evangelism, and fellas took me by this house that we live in today. 1975, we moved in. He had had this house on the market for over a year and couldn't sell it. He said, preacher, I can put you in that house for $500. I said, I can rake up $500. And of course, we moved in with the understanding we'd pay the loan payment on it. until we worked it out to buy it. And when I went to apply for a loan, now, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but you can feel pretty stupid sometimes. The fellow looked at me, he said, filling out the application, he said, how much money do you make? I said, well, I don't know. Sometimes I make so much, sometimes I don't make that much. And he said, well, we're getting nowhere like this. He said, have you filed your income tax yet? I said, yeah. He said, well, we'll just go on that. We'll use what you use on your income tax. And he put that down. Finished that transaction, went back home, headed off to Indiana for revival. And I told Linda, I said, now, don't get too used to living here. We may not have it very long. I'm in revival in Indiana. Call home. She said, honey, got a letter today from the mortgage company, the place we were getting a loan. She said, it's been approved. I said, really? God was showing me some things. He provided it for us. But Donald, here's what I want you to see. On that same kind of income, God enabled us to put four of our six children through college that have college degrees today. The other two could have gone. They chose to go to another route. What I'm saying is, my God's a big God. I've never in all my ministry asked a church for anything. I've never said, I have to have a certain amount of money. I need you to pay so much of my expenses. I've never one time. They call and ask if I can come. I said, by God's grace, I'll try to be there. And we work it out and I'm gone. And I believe that's the way a pastor or a preacher rather ought to operate. It's the step of faith and a walk of faith. The Christian life is to be by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so God wants us to trust Him. Learn to trust Him. But not only, we see also this reveals, His name reveals His praise. You know, when we understand the personality and the power and the protection and the provision in the name of the Lord, the impulse and desire of our heart is to offer praise to His name. When you understand all that, you have no problem waving your hand and saying, hey, Lord, it's me again. Praise God. Thank you for the blessings that you continually bestow upon me. You have no problem in that area. The psalmist says, oh, magnify the Lord within me and let us exalt His name together. About to get a Pentecostal figure. That's our problem. We Baptists have let the Pentecostal monopolize praising. John the Baptist shouted 3 months before he was ever born. He leaped in his mother's womb. Well, I better go on. We've seen the definition of His name. Notice secondly, the desecration of God's name. The word vain, He said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The word vain means empty of content. It means to make void of meaning. It means to be irreverent. Here is a specific commandment that the name of God is not to be misused or abused. We often think when we hear this commandment, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain, we often think of profanity. Well, that's certainly one way of taking God's name in vain. But the first thing as parents that you ought to teach your children is to never use profanity. And the best way to do that is not to use it in their presence. We need more amens than that on that statement. When you use God's name in profanity, it shows two things. It shows an empty head and a wicked heart. Profanity reveals a feeble mind. A profane mouth reveals a profane heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A lady said to me one time, said, you can't tell what I'm thinking. I said, as soon as you open your mouth, I can. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. But then there's also not only profanity that's included in the desecration of God's name, but there's frivolous. I use the word frivolous. You see, profanity is one way of taking God's name in vain. But being frivolous in the use of his name is another way. People often say, well, you know the old man upstairs. No, no. That's a frivolous way of addressing God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about foolish or jesting. Just foolish talking or jesting is using the name of God in a careless manner, a frivolous way, making jokes about God. Using good humor to make a point is fine, but jesting about God goes beyond humor. So you can be frivolous in the use of God's name and take his name in vain. And then there is hypocrisy. Nothing turns teenagers off more than hypocrisy in the home. When mom and dad do not live what they profess, kids see right through them. Let me read you a verse, Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 1. Because here is a picture of hypocrisy. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. What a picture of hypocrisy. People who make mention of God's name, but not in truth and righteousness. Our Lord addressed a crowd like that in Matthew chapter 7. Where he said, many would say unto me in that day, but have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Jesus said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So he was talking of those who were hypocritical. When we claim an experience with Christ, which is not real in our life, we are taking the name of the Lord in vain. In other words, when we identify as a Christian, as belonging to the body of Christ, having never been born again, we are taking the name of our God in vain. We see thirdly, we've talked about the definition of his name, the declaration of his name. Then notice finally, the declaration of God's name. The last name given for God in the Bible is Jesus, which means Jehovah saves. The angel said unto Joseph concerning the birth of Jesus, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was why he came into the world, to seek and to save that which is lost. Dad, mom, grandparents, teach your children to declare and never be ashamed to wear his name. To wear his name. The Bible says in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You see, when we call ourselves Christians, we are wearing the very name of Jesus. Never be ashamed of that. Never apologize for wearing His name. Identifying with Him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, being a part of the family of God. Paul says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we should never be ashamed to wear His name. And we ought not be ashamed to share His name. What do you mean by that, Brother Don? In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 16, it says that they thought upon His name. In other words, they were talking about Him. When you start talking about God, it pleases God, and it pleases Him when we think upon His name. We learn from Deuteronomy that God told the children of Israel, teach your children when you're up, when you're in bed, when you're walking around, whatever, in all the activities of the day, go talking about God. Well, the children ought to wear His name, and we ought to wear His name, and we ought to share His name. Share it with others. Tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. If your salvation is as wonderful as you tell others it is, why not share that with others and include them in it as well? Amen? If I could bring an indictment against the modern day church, it's that we've lost our burden to see people saved. The tears are gone. No more weeping over the erring ones. No more crying even over our families and children that are lost without God. Oh, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But not only we should declare and not be ashamed to wear his name, to share his name, and to bear his name. You see, when you wear and share the name of Jesus, you're going to suffer reproach. You're going to be criticized. Do you know that the name of Jesus is hated more than any other name on earth? The Bible tells us again in Acts chapter 5, after the apostles have been beaten and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And in daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. As believers, we're to wear His name and share His name and bear His name as we declare His name. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to close this way. General William Booth, who's the founder of the Salvation Army, he was very near death. His wife and his children had some papers that needed his signature. And the children went in to him and said, if you would just sign your name on these papers, it would help us and facilitate some things that need to be done. He took the pen and signed the paper. Later, when the family looked at it, they saw that he had signed the name Jesus. You see, when you and I step into those chilly waters of death, legal papers aren't going to mean a lot to us either. Didn't mean that much to William Booth, because his mind, his heart, his thoughts were on Jesus. The important thing that is, if your name has been signed into the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the important thing. Whosoever's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life is cast into a burning lake of fire. So it's important to have your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, there's coming a day when the name of Jesus will be blasphemed no more. There's coming a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, lest someone may misunderstand, I've been dealing with these commandments, and they're wonderful. I love to study them. But no person has ever been saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. They were not given for us to be saved. Paul reminds us they were a schoolmaster, a teacher, to bring us to Christ. Paul said, I would not have known sin had it not been for the law. You see, from these Ten Commandments, there were some 600 other laws that governed every aspect of Jewish life, religious, social, political, everything. But these Ten Commandments were given as a standard of living for the Jewish people. The law, the commandments, they reveal and help us to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because if you break one of them, you're guilty of breaking all of them. The only one that ever kept them all was nailed to an old rugged cross and shed His precious blood that we might be forgiven of our sin. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Dear Father, I pray today that You'll take these messages, seal the truth of them to our heart. May our relationships within our homes be much stronger, more dedicated to the things of God than they've been in the past. I pray that You'll bless every family here, every person here, every young person. Dear Lord, I pray that You'll continue to bless the burden and the ministry of our pastor in reaching our teens today. Oh, help them to come to know Jesus as their Savior and yield their lives in such a way that they'll live for You and honor You in every way. And help us as parents and grandparents to be a godly example before them. We ask Your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, hey, Pastor, if You'll come and close the service.